Public schools are all.
You're old enough.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Boy.
My wife said, don't shut up.
Okay. Thank you. Praise team. Thank you. That was beautiful seeing everyone on that last song. Two thumbs up. Greatly appreciated. Thank you very, very much.
I was thinking before I just came up here, in the morning breaking bread, Scott, the other Scott, read from Romans 8. And that's not what my sermon is today. But Romans 8, I encourage you to read it if you haven't already and to study it. Romans 8, I read somewhere that it is the pinnacle of the book of Romans. It is like the jewel on a ring. It's the jewel that stands out. All scripture does. But Romans 8, read it and digest it. It's a powerful, powerful chapter in the book of Romans. So I encourage you to do so. Before we get into the speaking here, my daughter Susanna, some of you have been praying for her and maybe knowing about her heart issues. She has a pacemaker. She's in her very young, but anyway, she has a pacemaker. And you've been praying, and she wanted to have me thank you for your prayers. She's still struggling, trying to get the pacemaker to work right. She's under a lot of pain because of fluid around the heart. But she just wanted to say thank you. She's a strong believer, and we praise the Lord. It's hard sometimes, but we thank the Lord for that. Let's just open in a word of prayer. And then before I get to my sermon, I have another statement from my good friend, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Last week I read from you a portion about his thoughts on the subject of deep, and today it will be on commitment. It's powerful. I have to read it to you. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you. It is a glorious day. We thank you for each one here present, Lord. We just pray to help and guide us as we look into your word, Lord, in the next few moments, that again, everything will be said and done for your glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. Yes, as I mentioned last week, I do enjoy Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he has some great thoughts. And this is on contentment. Heavenly Father, if I should suffer need and go unclothed and be in poverty, make my heart prize your love, know it, be constrained by it, though I be denied all blessings. It's your mercy to afflict and try me with loss, for by these trials I see my sins and desire severance from them. Let me willingly accept misery, sorrows, temptations, if I can thereby feel sin as the greatest evil, and be delivered from it with gratitude to you, acknowledging this as the highest testimony of your love. When your Son Jesus came into my soul, instead of sin, he became more dear to me than sin had formerly been. His kindly rule replaced sin's power. Teach me to believe that if ever I would have any sin subdued, I must not only labor to overcome it, but must invite Christ to abide in the place of it. And he must become to me more than vile lust had been, that his sweetness, power, life may be there. Thus I must seek a grace from him contrary to sin, but must not claim it apart from himself. When I'm afraid of evils to come, comfort me by showing me that in myself I am a dying, condemned wretch. But in Christ I am reconciled and live. And in myself I find insufficiency and no rest. But in Christ there's satisfaction and peace. That in myself I am feeble and unable to do good. But in Christ I have ability to do all things. Though now I have his grace in part, I shall shortly have them perfectly in that state where you will show yourself fully reconciled and alone sufficient, efficient, loving me completely, with sin abolished. O Lord, hasten that day. That's contentment, boy. And he penned very, very well. Those that were here last week, I left you with a word about your memory. If you weren't doing your exam,
Character. Remember? Character. Okay. Keep that in mind. Let's turn in the book of James, if you will, with me, please. James 1, verse 12. We'll have a few portions of scripture today, actually. James 1, verse 12. There's a word in here that I want you to get into a little later. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. As you know, I like to ask questions. How many here have ever come across a person or persons who are generally a blessing to be around? You know the type, encouragement with a capital E to people in their life. Contentment and peace seems to be part of their daily routine. Today, unlike probably no other time in history, so many people are trying desperately to find a way to make themselves happy, to find contentment, to be blessed, so to speak. Having been in business and having an interest in business and retail, I clearly see that this is the desire to find happiness or contentment is one of the motivating forces behind what so much of society does today. You see this in what all the things that go on and all the advertising and all the other things. It's trying to appeal that people can find peace or happiness or contentment. Unfortunately, for example, there are some working at jobs that they hate or are unsuited for in order to find or afford what they think is necessary to obtain happiness, to be called blessed. These individuals can thus experience, unfortunately, bitterness, which in turn creates a greater desire to try and counter this problem with activities that try and bring happiness and the vicious cycle of a seemingly hopeless situation keeps going on. This desire to obtain happiness or to feel blessed is one of the reasons for the dramatic increase in lotteries. The drug of masses and the drug of governments. So many, if I could only win that lottery, I would be so happy and blessed. If you study a lot of the lives of people who have won big lotteries, you'll find that quite the opposite is true. Yes, there are so many, many unhappy and fearful people in this world, so it's refreshing. It's refreshing when we meet or know someone who has a truly cheerful or a blessed character. Someone who is contented in all matters of life. For the born-again, heaven-bound believer, this type of characteristic should be what we exhibit daily, not just superficially, but inwardly as well. It's very hard sometimes, but definitely necessary. Something we need to work on with the Lord's help and power. So, the question is, how can we tell what the characteristics of a truly blessed individual are? It's not someone that you come across and, you know, they got this big grin on their face all the time. Or even a vague sense of contentment in different circumstances. For some unsaved worldly individuals have a type of discontentment. But these feelings can be here today and gone tomorrow, subject to the winds of uncertainty and adversity. First, you or I have to realize that happy or blessed, as the world defines it, is not the same as what God defines it. The world defines blessed or happy as a person-centered. What makes me content? And what can I gain to make my physical life more comfortable?
The Bible shows us that the word blessed is used in two different ways. Giving praise to God and declaring blessedness, supreme eternal happiness to man. So with that in mind, I say again, let's take apart a truly soul-inspiring blessed man or woman from those around. In Scripture, there are a number of persons, examples for us with a blessed character. Maybe you'll think of some, but I was thinking, and I wrote down Enoch, Noah, Joseph. Harry was giving an example in coming back this morning in the breaking of bread. Joseph, blessed character, blessed. Moses, Abraham, David, Paul, Mary. And the greatest example is naturally the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, we're going to take a quick look at some of the characteristics of such an individual, a blessed individual. This will be a checklist sort of for us to see how we stand in light of God's Word. Now, I was looking through, I have a book, the Dave's Reference Bible, and he had a few of these points listed, and so I kind of built on them and looked at them. But the main point we'll be looking at is Psalms 119. So you can turn now to the book of Psalms 119. We all know that's the biggest, the longest chapter in Scripture, Psalms 119. And we'll go there. We'll be looking at a few verses in Psalms 119. But first, we'll go to Psalms 15 as well. Psalms 15. We'll start with Psalms 15. Short Psalms. Psalms 15. Before we look at Psalms 119. Psalms 15, 1-5. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacles? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So then if we go over to Psalms 119. Don't worry, we're not going to read all the Psalms. 119. Be here for a while. Psalms 119. And I'll read the first 8 verses. And some of your Bibles are actually divided in sections in 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his way. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect and all thy commands. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes, or forsake thee not utterly. And then just going over there, verses 163 to 172. I hate and adore lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplications come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all the commandments of righteousness.
Let thine hand keep help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. I want to couple over there. You know, sometimes if you've listened to me before, I like to take a little side trip sometimes. But they are connected, these side trips. And you know, when we look at Psalms 119 in general, the whole Psalms 119, it's a marvelous piece of scripture. Not just because it's long, but it's a marvelous piece of scripture. An amazing collection of truths connecting many different subjects that are very important for you and I in how to live a victorious and truly meaningful life, a Christ-centered life. That we're a believer in Christ, that should be our main goal. A life that will count for something eternal, other than obtaining a bunch of stuff and then dying a wasted, uneventful life. In Psalms 119, I read that we can see ways to walk before an almighty and holy God. God spoke, seeking God, the Lord Jehovah. Secrets of obtaining victory over sin in our life. Things to do in life with our whole heart. True purpose for living. Description of a wicked man or woman. Statements about distress. Sources of comfort, which are very needful, I think, in this moment. Description of the Word of God. Things to hate and avoid if we want to live a truly blessed life. And there's other points as well. Now I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon again. He had this to say about Psalms 119, and I think he hit it right on the head. It's well said. This wonderful psalm, from its great length, helps us to wonder at the immensity of Scripture. From its keeping to one subject, it helps us to adore the unity of Scripture. For it is but one, yet for the many turns it gives to the same thought, it helps you to see the variety of Scripture. Some have said that in it there is an absence of variety, but that is merely the observation of those who have not studied. I have weighed each word, looked at each symbol with lengthened meditation, and I bear witness that this sacred song has tautology in it, but it's charmingly varied from beginning to end. Its variety is that of a kaleidoscope. From a few objects, a boundless variation is produced. In the kaleidoscope, you look once, and there is a strangely beautiful form. You shift the glass a very little, and another shape, equally delicate and beautiful, is before your eyes. So it is here. Well put, Mr. Spurgeon. So next time you're reading Psalms 119, just think of it along those lines. Now, carrying on the subject of a blessed individual, The dictionary states that the character of a person is the qualities making up the individual, the moral qualities, the reputation of possessing them. These make a truly blessed or happy individual. Now, I read Psalms 15, the first psalm read, and you know it's often used in Jewish rituals as the type of eulogy expressing the ideal human qualities that ensure the deceased a place in the afterlife. Now, if I just left that statement by itself, there would be some problems with that. But I quote, and I read this, regarding this eulogy, to the believer we know that it is only through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are assured everlasting life in the arms of Christ. But, it is interesting to see the importance godly character of a blessed person have to the Jewish people. So I threw that in because it shows the importance of what a blessed character means to the Jewish people, and it should mean to us as well. So for the believer in Christ, what characteristics should make up their blessed countenance or character, true happiness? There are a number of characteristics listed in Psalms 15 and 119, but some are familiar or similar in ways to others. So I'll try to narrow the list down so we won't be here until tomorrow. So there are a number of different lists here.
Now, it's also important to note that we as believers have the Holy Spirit, the very presence of the Lord of the universe, to help us develop and strengthen the characteristics listed here in God's Word. We're not alone. Yes, it will take hard work on our part and a willing heart and a time, but the results in our lives will be heavenly and certainly give a proper meaning to living and being truly happy and blessed and content. Now, we're speaking to believers in Jesus Christ. If there are any here today that are not saved, these are all kind of meaningless. But I pray each one here is saved, and if you're not, I pray today is the day of salvation. Turning your life over to Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness in the shed blood of our Savior. So, now to the characteristics of a blessed man or woman. Verse 1, the blessed individual, the blessed man or woman will be one who lives an undefiled life. You see that in verse 1. His or her life will be such that even the unsaved will admit that it is not tainted with sin or even the appearance of possible wrongdoing. This person will have thus a clear conscience, and thus leading to a true contentment and joy. This is not to say that this person is perfect in all the time as perfection awaits the saint, but it does mean that when we sinful mistakes are made, and they will be fewer and fewer as we walk closer and closer with the Lord, then confession is quick and heartfelt, and consequences are dealt with quickly and properly. When we mourn for our sins, that deep soul searching and repentance, then victory awaits. So the believer will not seek to go to sinful places, and we know what that means, and avoid situations like the plague that can be a temptation to the soul. They will walk in God's will and not worldly goods. Now we see that in verse 3 and verse 101. I want to read verse 101 because I didn't read it initially. Verse 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word, that I may keep thy word. Now walking indicates action. And so it can be positive, God-honoring action, or dishonoring action. So the question is, where are our feet taking us? Where are our feet taking us? Number 2, the blessed individual will have a character dominated by a desire to seek the Lord, verse 3, with a whole heart. A whole heart. Not partially seeking or desiring, having a heart, soul, that is bouncing between heaven and earth is a soul or heart that will get spiritual motion sickness. If we try to bounce back and forth, we're going to get spiritually sick, motion sickness. So what does whole mean? Let us consider the answer wisely. Number 3, the happy or blessed man or woman will also praise the Lord continually. Praise the Lord continually. Verse 7 of chapter 119. First, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And then verse 164. Now, in 164, we see the word seven times, and I believe this means more than just a literal seven times. We don't go and I'll praise the Lord today once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. No, it means a praise and thank the Lord with a sincere heart, almost like a habit, a way of living daily like this. This is difficult at first and certainly needs to be worked on in a good sense. Now, this is not a mindless, oh, praise the Lord.
You know, a lot of times we can use the word appraisal, right, and just be like, how are you doing? It's when we praise the Lord, we think about what we're saying, what we're doing, and we give thanks and praise the Lord continually. Every day. Remember, a praised person is a contented person and a blessed person. It may seem hard in difficult times, but a blessed person will realize the hand of the Lord is resting on them, and in turn, they'll have a peace that passes all understanding. The blessed or happy person will also enjoy the love of God's word. The blessed person will also enjoy and love God's word. So much so that to do without it will be like going without food or water. Verse 14 of this great chapter, verse 14, just to read this. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Testimony means God's word, all the testimonies. And there's others, verse 16, verse 113, 111, and 140. How can we enjoy the presence and peace of God if we find his word laborious and boring? How can we expect to have a true contentment and fulfillment and purpose and blessedness if we treat with wholeness the very breath of God? Shame on us if we do so. Yes, a blessed man or woman will be characterized as one who goes beyond the milk of the scripture and longs for the deep meat of God's word. Hebrews 5, we'll just go over there. This is a very familiar portion of scripture. Hebrews 5, and Paul, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but Paul, the author of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 4, addresses this. 11 to 14 of chapter 5 in the book of Hebrews. O whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teacheth you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. Both good and evil. So the question is, do you or I have our chewing teeth in? Or are we still gumming? Don't be scared of the word doctrine and theology. Some people, doctrine, theology. I'm going to go to sleep right now. Embrace the scriptures and what they teach and study and study and study it. Excellent commentaries and Bibles and commentary series are out there that go a long way in helping. But the warning goes out, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful and discerning. Ask a godly man or woman for help if you're not sure, especially seeking help of an elder at the church. There's different websites that are excellent. I have a couple that I use extensively. But be very, very careful. There's a lot out there that can, this just a few words can twist meaning of scripture. So be very careful. But study, right? Just hold on to the word of God. Now, a blessed saint will also trust in God's word. Verse 14, or 42 of 119. Verse 42 of 119. Take and look that up later. As important it is to love and enjoy God's word, it's also the characteristic of a blessed man or woman to be able to trust God's word. It's one thing to read God's word. It's one thing to study God's word. But it's another step to trust God's word. They will believe without a doubt in what the word of God declares. faith and trust in the Holy Scriptures will be their homework. Also, we'll see the characteristics of being zealous. Zealous for God. Zealous for God. Zeal. Verse 139. Let's go back to 139 of Psalms. 119. 139. Psalms 119. My zeal has consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Zealous, zealous for the word of God. Standing up for God in a godless society, willing to declare the love of God, but also the judgments of God, regardless of the circumstances. Now, the blessed saint will also have a life characterized by the word obedience. See, we can read God's word. We can study God's word. We can trust God's word. But we also have to obey God's word. That is a characteristic of a blessed individual. Obedience to the word of God. Verses 1 to 12. Verses 1 to 12 will state that. And also 2 Corinthians 10 to 5. Look that up. It's a little bit of homework. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and verse 112. Yes, their life will be marked by obedience to God regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. If we enjoy turmoil in our soul, hardships that could be avoided, destructive mistakes, then just disobey what God states. Why do we think that there's so much crime and hurt and destruction that is out there, like all the mass shootings? You know, it's not because of guns. I'm going to get on to all subjects like that. It's not because of guns. It's because man has decided he knows better than God and thus forsaken him and his ways. A blessed person will also have a life characterized by a great desire to proclaim God's word or testimonies. Verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies and also before kings and will be not ashamed. The desire to help spread the word of God and to tell others about the Lord's mercy and grace will be very evident in a person's life that is blessed. The question is, are we excited to learn about missions? About what God is doing in the world, how missionaries are out there spreading the word of God, here, within our community, and abroad. Do we want to learn more about opportunities to see God's word proclaimed throughout the world? You know, a lot of us have, you know, we may have time, a hard time talking to people individually. I love tracks. You know, a tract. There's a lot of great tracks out there. Just leaving them, giving them to someone, they can speak volumes. And that helps in spreading the word of God. And it's part of being a blessed individual. Good characteristics. The blessed man or woman will also hate every false way. Verse 128. The true way of the gospel is the only way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For humans and the blessed individual will hate, not tolerate, or endorse any other falsehood. Today, so many are declaring, even within Christianity, that there are other paths to heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ, the very God of very God. The Apostle Paul declares that these ways are wrong. Period. And that anyone who declares otherwise, even an angel, should be accursed. Galatians 1:8. Always remember, never compromise with what is wrong in order to do what is right. Never compromise with wrong in order to do what is right. We may think the end result requires us to do wrong. It doesn't. When it comes to the truths and absolutes of God's word, there is no compromise to the blessed individual. to the blessed believer. When one follows this path, then true contentment and peace is there. Finally, to end the list, though there are more characteristics, the blessed man or woman will be characterized by the fact that they will not backbite with their tongue or seek to do evil to their neighbor. That's why one of the reasons I read Psalms 15, verse 3. Only selfish, uncontented individuals backbite, gossip, slander, or do evil against their neighbor. And God hates them. Zechariah 8:17 declares it very clearly. Zechariah 8:17. Many times, gossip and stinging tongue of a believer has ruined a testimony. Friendships, relationships, and the image of the gospel has suffered damage by a believer who has not been walking as they should before the Lord. We have to be careful. Sometimes it's very hard to undo what we said. So in closing, if you are seeking true contentment and peace and eternal happiness, then the first step, as I said, must be in receiving Christ as your Savior. This then sets you on the right path. Now, to us as believers, the question that we need to ask each day is, how is our character measuring up to that of a blessed man or woman? The man, the individual of Psalms 15, who shall abide in the Lord's tabernacle? It should be our all-consuming desire to build up a character pleasing unto the Lord. And in the process, we will realize what is true happiness, true contentment, and we will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Psalms 1 and 19. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that it gives us guidance and direction and how we can live a truly blessed and encouraging life for you. To those around us, that we can be called a blessed individual, not for our own praise, not for our own glory, but for your glory and honor. Lord, as we go forth into the world, may you guide our steps for your glory and honor. May we help proclaim the word, the gospel, the true gospel in Jesus Christ. We thank you. We pray blessings upon each one here now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you. Have a blessed week in the Lord. Amen. Thank you.